Well, hey, friends, Mark DiMatteo coming at you all with another new message going out to our Great Questions group. And this is actually message number 25. The title is Answers from Atoms. Subtitle would be Some Significant Conclusions from Our Study of Atoms. Okay, Answers from Atoms. And once again, I want to tell you that we continue to grow. As I continue to connect with more folks that are interested in this same topic, and I think I meant to actually do a specific count for y'all, but I just reached 660 people now that are part of directly a part of my personal Great Questions group list, and so we continue to grow, and more folks on the blog, and of course I get more and more people telling me they're sharing them with other folks. And again, folks, anybody that you think would benefit from these, be an encouragement to them, as I trust they are to you. If you're new to these, feel free to share them. And for those of you that are new, welcome. We're glad to have you with us. And so anyway, let's get rolling here. In this particular message, as the title indicates, we are going to review, summarize, and draw some conclusions from what we've learned so far about atoms. And it's been pretty cool. So to begin with, let's refresh our minds with some of the scientific principles we've discussed up to this point. For you will recall that my purpose in this portion of my studies was to attempt to find a rational explanation for the existence of atoms. And I wanted to do this based on solid empirical science, for atoms compose matter. And matter is one of the three components comprising the basic construct of the cosmos. And you'll recall that space, matter, or mass energy, and time are the three basics. Okay, and we must ultimately account for the existence of all three if we're going to be intellectually honest in our pursuit here. Therefore, gaining any understanding of where they might have come from, as in atoms, would possibly give me, consequently us, a better understanding of where I came from, or we came from. And this, of course, is one of the great questions. So first, let's remember from our look at the second law of thermodynamics that there is an inherent natural tendency in everything to run down, wear out, and disintegrate. Okay? And furthermore, you will recall that to overcome this universal tendency towards decay and have any type of order arise, four specific conditions or components or requirements must exist: plans, parts, power, and a process. Okay, that's a quick, simple way to remember that: plans, parts, power, and a process. Then, in our message on information theory, we learned that perhaps the most important of these four components, the plans, are essentially instructions, which in turn are specific information, which only comes from intelligence, which ultimately only originates in a mind. Finally, I also want to remind you of the law of cause and effect, or causality, which we discussed back in message number 12, and which states, as you will also recall, that every effect in the cosmos must have an adequate cause. And an adequate cause is one which precedes and is greater than any effect which it produces. And by the way, this would probably be a good time to remind you all that have been a part of this for a while, and any of you that are new, that my previously recorded audios are posted on my website, my personal website, my blog, if you will, okay, which is real simple. It's myfirstandlastname.com, Mark DeMatteo or markdematteo.com, markdematteo.com. And you can feel free to review them, because I just touched on those and put it all in context, because it is a chronological review, okay? But continuing on now, let's quickly summarize what we've learned about atoms. Atoms are unimaginably small, spherical entities composed of varying numbers of three primary parts. and only those three primary parts, each of which, though, are perhaps composed of even smaller parts, which is truly astounding, folks, okay? Each of these three parts move in continuous motion in an ordered, specific manner within the atom at speeds that perhaps approach or even match the velocity of light. This motion is so vast that it gives the atom a spherical boundary, as you will recall, and although in actuality it is composed of nothing but empty space, which is also pretty amazing. Furthermore, it just gets better, the binding forces that exist and operate in these minute entities are vast beyond belief, as we attempted to demonstrate with Einstein's famous equation and our ounce of water versus the aircraft carrier example, okay? Then, perhaps most astoundingly of all, we discussed the reality that there is no known source for this vast power that continues to operate in all of them. For without it, their motion would cease, and they would also cease. Their motion would stop. Let me say it that way. And they would cease to exist. And folks, so would all of the matter in the cosmos, including you and I, our physical bodies. Isn't that pretty amazing? This stuff's amazing. Finally, we touched on the futility of even beginning to grasp the magnitude of the power that consequently must be operating in all of the matter composing the estimated trillion or so galaxies that are now believed to exist in the known universe. Okay, and I wrote down here, wow, folks, all of this is truly some just amazing, amazing stuff to think about. And so now, in light of what we have learned up to this point and just reviewed, I want to share with you some of the compelling conclusions that I came to from my study of atoms while looking at them within the framework of the scientific principles I had become aware of, and you have become aware of now too. Okay, or I refreshed you on, or you may know more about than I do, but regardless, what we've been talking about, okay? First of all, it was quite obvious that an atom is what you and I might call a highly improbable arrangement of matter. For according to the second law, I now knew that the highly ordered and energetic structure of an atom could not have arisen by itself without those four conditions being met. So to begin with, where then did all the individual subatomic parts come from? All the protons, all the neutrons, all the electrons. Where did they come from? And where does this inconceivable power come from? Because it must have come from somewhere to begin with, and it must still be energizing them at this very moment. For as I just said, their very existence is based upon this continual motion. We talked about that in the primary message describing the atoms. Okay. Furthermore, it is not enough just to have the raw power. There must also be some kind of a conversion process to convert it into the ordered power on which each atom exists. So what is it? Finally, and again, perhaps most importantly, where did the plans, the instructions, the information come from for not only the assembly of the atom, folks, but even more importantly, their continued operation? For see, it's not just enough to have the plans for how to build them. There must also be a manual, if you will, okay, additional information on how to continue to run them. Where does this come from? And folks, this is not rocket science. I mean, if we could take an atom and blow it up to the size of a basketball, let's say, and somehow put it in front of us, I don't think we could get anywhere near it because of the forces that are emanating from it and the velocity. I mean, it would just be an astounding thing to experience at the size of a basketball, okay? But the reality is, I don't think any one of us would walk along and say, wow, that just popped into existence by itself. Okay, I don't think any of us, knowing the way the world works, would believe that. And the key is the science actually backs up those observations. Okay, and furthermore, okay, it's a little extra right there outside of my notes. But anyway, it's all good. But continuing on, as I now knew from information theory, and you will recall, as we just talked about, okay, ultimately the information only comes from intelligence. In other words, a mind, okay? And this gets really mind-boggling when we consider that these conditions must be being met. And I mean continuously at the present moment. I don't know if that's correct English or not, but you get my drift, okay? For all the countless myriads of these amazing little building blocks that must exist in the cosmos, okay? So anyway, let me just say that again. And this is mind-boggling when we realize that all those conditions are continuously being met right now for every one of those atoms. I didn't know whether I said that clearly. I want to make sure you got it. I'm sure you did, okay? So just how many total parts must we be talking about here? How much power? How extensive a process, and how vast the information. Then this became even more staggering as I reflected on the implication of the law of causality, or cause and effect again, and its requirement, now get this, of a greater cause for every effect. For though this as a whole is an unimaginably immense cosmic effect. In other words, taking into consideration all the atoms that exist and what must be operating for them to exist, according to this law, the cause must have both preceded it and astoundingly been even greater still. You follow me on that, folks? In other words, let me say this. Add up all the parts, all the plans, all the power, and the process to account for every atom that exists. And as huge as all that is, the cause is even bigger. My goodness. Okay? Folks, this was indeed some fascinating and exciting and compelling stuff I was discovering as I was going through this portion of my journey here. Okay? And this is what's interesting too. And while I'd been exposed to lots of, you know, different parts of this before, I was wondering why hadn't I or anyone else ever connected all the dots for me before? Okay, I mean, this wasn't that complicated, but where all of this was now leading me was vastly significant. In fact, kind of pulling this all together then and summarizing, let me say this. In light of known verifiable science and all that we've talked about and all we've studied and all we've reviewed and everything leading up to this, the most logical and rational, adequate cause for the innumerable quantity of atoms that exist in the cosmos, now follow me here, must be an exceedingly vast mind with access to and control over what would seem to be limitless power, and both of which, the mind and the power, both of which must emanate and operate from a source outside the known universe. Okay? Well, how about that? I seem to have found some more solid empirical evidence for the existence of God, and I hadn't even gone that far. Okay, now while I was personally amped about this discovery, as I have also explained in prior messages, I didn't want my personal leanings to sway me away from any real evidence, as I've also discussed before. Furthermore, I wasn't pursuing these studies in a vacuum. In other words, in isolation by myself, just figured all this out just totally on my own. I was researching what many people were saying on this topic, but I was checking into it. And what they were telling me, I was checking out what they were telling me for myself. I've talked about that before too. So, lest I jump to any conclusions in our next message, because I checked this out. In our next message, we are going to look briefly at a few of the other explanations that I was told for how atoms might have come about. And we will see, we'll check them out together and see how they stack up in light of the scientific principles we now know about. Okay, and we'll see which seems to be the better explanation. So, I will look forward to talking with you about that in our next message. Okay, so y'all have a great day, and I'll look forward to that. Bye-bye.